Meeting of the Board of Commissioners of Brown County to order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you take a moment to pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the country in which we live. And now as we approach a new political season, we pray that your blessing would be upon this country to support those who would keep this country true to its constitution. We pray for those who are in office. We pray for those who run for office, that your will might be done for America. We know you have blessed this country for over 200 years. And we see some trends that are moving away from our constitution, and many of us believe that's not a good thing. So we pray for those in places of power and those who seek political office, that your will might be done here in America as it's been for a long, long time. Bless now this meeting and the decision we make here, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Are there any additions or changes to the agenda?
Yeah. I'd like to talk about the music center and that situation at some point. We have time within 2 hours.
Yeah.
Certainly believe we have time for that.
And as far as the minutes, can I move on to the minutes or
hang on
any other changes?
Yeah. We're going to have a meeting rearranged, rescheduled. I think it's on that. I don't know.
It's in addition to the agenda. It's on there.
So,
yeah.
Anyhow, so we're on that. Okay. Now you can do the minutes.
You got to drive a bus? You got to drive a bus? Whatever. As far as the minutes, I guess it would be January the 3rd minutes. I said something about I'd like to have an executive session on January the 24th or 5th. I guess we're not going to do an executive session. We're going to do an administrative session. The only question is how many can four council members attend that also? Or is there a limit on how many commissioners and how many council people can attend that administrative meeting? And the topic is insurance. Do you have an answer, Mr. Mogul? Are you there?
Yeah, the administrative meeting is open to the public, correct?
It could be, but couldn't we have an administrative meeting that wasn't open to the public without all the members?
If there's a majority of the members there, then it would have to be an executive session.
To talk about insurance?
It just depends specifically what the discussion is around insurance. If it qualifies for an executive session, then you can do that.
Does insurance qualify for an executive session?
I'd have to know more facts about what the discussion around insurance is.
Okay, then...
Offline if you'd like.
We have time to, whether we do that or not in an executive session, our administrative session, we still have time, but I guess we can't take that out of there. It's just that, I don't know, maybe we do need to leave that in there until we figure it out.
We'll just make it.
So I might have to come back at some point and say, well, we did the executive, we're going to do the executive session, we didn't, or something. Clean that up.
Mike, I have a question. It was my understanding that the legislature changed the law that would allow the commissioners, all three of them, to meet in an administrative meeting that wouldn't necessarily have to be public. Am I correct or not?
Yeah, there are some, if it's regarding an administrative function, such as, you know, the example we like to use is you're purchasing office equipment, then that doesn't necessarily have to be open to the public. But again, it depends what the matter is. It's very fact dependent on that one. I know we dealt with this a couple months ago.
No decisions are made in these meetings, it's just to discuss possibilities and get information and discuss that information.
That definitely helps, as long as there's no official action, which an official action doesn't necessarily have to mean a decision was made. It could also mean that information was gathered to lead to a decision. Again, it's very fact-dependent. If you guys want, we can have this discussion, and you can give me more of the facts, and I can give you more of an analysis.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Okay. As far as the minutes, that's all I had. And then on the claims, I had a couple questions, and I'd ask the auditor for clarification. I'm not getting on you up there, Mike. I'm just was questioning about the county council us paying $1,000, and the auditor explained to me that's for December. As you well know, the county council's went a different direction on the attorneys. And so I guess this is for December, so we don't have a problem paying that. The other thing that I noticed was an insurance bill here for $9,715.78, which it was explained to me that's basically a pass-through, and then we pay our $1,000 deductible. Now, Mr. Walpert had looked at that and highlighted some stuff. Did you have any questions?
I just was curious on this vehicle maintenance, the 9700 Webb and Sons restoration.
That's what I just talked about.
That was the one?
That's what I just talked about.
Okay, yeah. We're good, Dan.
Yeah, she explained it to me, and you can explain it to him if you want.
No, that's fine. As
we actually called Doug for clarification.
Okay, perfect.
Did you have anything else there, sir?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Now, as far as the other claims, I would like to look through them a little bit before I approve them. I don't have a problem with the minutes. I don't have a problem with the commissioner's side. That's all been explained. But I'm bad. I haven't looked at them. And I do want to look at them before I go ahead and approve them, so we can all go ahead and start with the meeting and so on. That'd be fine?
Fine to me.
Okay, thank you.
I'd entertain a motion for the minutes.
Well, he's got...
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, in a second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Did you want to...
Yeah, I do want to look at...
Right now, here?
Yeah, I'm going to
look
at
it. Yeah, okay. That's fine.
We'll conclude it before the end of the meeting.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, we have... office department reports, boards and committees, an addition here, change in the commissioner meeting schedule for our next meeting, I believe, is that correct?
Yeah.
To move it from the 7th until the 5th, that's from Wednesday to Monday. And that being our first meeting of the month would be at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday the 5th instead of 2 o'clock Wednesday the 7th. It says on the bottom of your agenda, if you have one here, February 7th, we're just changing that to the 5th. And that'll be posted out here on the door and where we're supposed to be set. So. Okay. We now move to... board appointments for 2024, and we have...
Hey, Jerry, can you make a motion and stuff on the changing of the date just to make sure?
Oh, okay, yeah. Sure. Yeah,
I make a motion that we change the 7th to the 5th, the first meeting of the month, next month, 2 o'clock.
Motion, there it is.
Second.
Motion and second, discussion. Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's official. We'll be on the 5th instead of the 7th.
Thank you.
Okay. We won't be able to do all of the appointments at this meeting. We'll do most of them.
Do you have a copy of that? An extra one? Is it up here?
This?
Yeah, board appointments.
Should be.
You know what? I don't think that the only copy that it's like that with your writing on it and who's doing what.
You couldn't run in and get us a copy?
I could. Yes.
Okay.
Sure could.
Sure. I got a few scribbles on there, if that's okay.
Now, just so you guys know, this is going to be an assembly line process this time. Everybody gets signed here first, and then it goes you, and then it goes you, and then it goes there.
Perfect. Move right down the line.
All right.
I'm going to have to come back tomorrow and sign that.
Auditor's office likes that. Very much so.
$15,000 towards us, the ARPA funds, been 2 years now, I think. It's all starting to blend together, so.
Yeah, it is.
To date, of that funds, we have spent about $214,000 of the funds, so we've got a little over $300,000 still remaining. With that fund so far, kind of some of the work that we've been able to do, we did purchase property directly next to our existing treatment plant for future expansion of a new plant.
I'm sorry, how much was that?
The purchase property amount? I think it was about $20,000 is what we paid towards that. There were some other fees in there, obviously, with the titling and that. But,
okay, yeah. Sure. Thank
you. We did extend our sewers to two homes just outside of, not outside of Helmsburg, in Helmsburg, but just outside of where our sewer lines were before. So that was completed. We've added them on as customers now. We've completed two different preliminary engineering reports with an engineering firm. The first one that we did was looking at our existing plant to see, you know, if we kind of band-aided or fixed it up a little bit to try to keep it running, how much would that cost? That cost came into where we were going to spend about $1.5 million just to kind of throw some band-aids on that existing plant. So we kind of said, yeah, that doesn't sound very feasible. So the other report we had done was looking at completely replacing our treatment plant that we've got now, plus also having additional capacity in there because we are working with Brown County RSD trying to get our sewers, to some more properties and more homes in the area. That came back, doing that work, plus also looking at extending our sewers a little bit further. We looked at going south along Helmsburg Road, on the other side of Bean Blossom Creek, and then also going up towards Oak Ridge Road, up around where Helmsburg Elementary School is. Currently, Helmsburg Elementary School is the last property we serve to the north. So we're looking at, we've got a few property owners further up north on Oak Ridge Road that are interested in hooking on, so we're trying to serve us up that way. In the report, the cost to do that plus all of the design, everything, came in at around $8.5 million to do that work. So we also, in the process of doing that, we did a contract with Reedy Financial Group to do some rate studies and look at what our costs would be doing kind of these different avenues. We kind of basically told them, hey, our customers are paying $92.50 a month right now. That's not going up. Whatever we're doing, we got to stick within that budget and ideally try to actually get those rates lower. This last fall, we were coordinating with SRF, State Revolving Fund, trying to look at how we were going to fund this, you know, this construction project. In October, we closed on about a $1 million forgivable loan with SRF to at least just go forward with doing the design work. And in coordination with them, the plan is we're going to do that design work. The design is supposed to be done this spring. We're going to then turn more concrete or more, you know, realistic construction cost numbers into them to say, okay, here's how much it's going to cost to build what we want. And then that way they can work us into their funding the first quarter of their fiscal year, which is actually like July-ish, to actually start construction. So hopefully we will be breaking ground on a new treatment plant in July, August of this year. And everything goes well and SRF comes back with the appropriate funding because we've told them, you know, we can't afford a $7 million or even $1 million loan to have to repay to them. Because that all gets passed to our customers can't afford it. So we're still actively working on that. We do have we are doing design right now. And everything's kind of moving along smoothly at this point. A couple hiccups in design aspects, but we're working through them, trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way, appropriate way to kind of move forward. So, but really, that's all I got, unless you guys got some questions or be happy to answer them.
Jens are on here for a claim this time. Looks like about $5,000. Can you explain any of that?
I don't have one sitting in front of me.
Here you go. Come up and get it. Looks like a pump equipment or something in Lock Mueller Group. It's right there at the top.
Yep.
Just kind of explain it to us.
The Lock Mueller Group charge was their final invoice to us for the preliminary engineering report that they did.
So the last one we're going to get from them?
That's the last one you should get for them for that, yes. Right now, the forgivable loan that we got with SRF is paying for a majority of the design for them. There's about there will be about $126,000 of the design fee from them that we'll be using the ARPA funds to be able to pay for. But that's probably not going to be till later this spring, early this summer, before I'm using up all of, you know, SRS funds to, and I need to use our ARPA funds to do that. So, which I will get I know you need a signed contract that we've got with Lock Mueller Group with those numbers on it, so I will make sure to get that over to you. So, the other one, as part of the design that we're doing, most of our existing customers, everybody in our collection system all have a grinder pump in their front yard that basically pumps their sewage to our plant. A majority of those pumps are 20 plus years old, and their life expectancy, honestly, is only about 10, maybe 15 years old. So as part of this design, our operator has gone through, done a detailed list and itemized list of all of our inventory assets of what we've got, how old each one of the pumps are, and anything that might need to be fixed or replaced. So that's all included in this design work. Unfortunately, those pumps being so old aren't lasting until I can get to construction. And we're needing, you know, one of them will go out, we've got to replace it now, we can't wait several months, we can't even wait a couple of days, you know, to replace those.
Do you have any on hand?
Our operator usually keeps one or two of them in stock, but then as he uses them, then he'll order one or two more.
How long does it take him to get one?
It only usually takes him a couple of days to get them in stock. So we've not really ever had much of an issue of, you know, when one's needed of not having it, you know, available to us or on shelf. So,
okay.
So that's that charge that you see there for the $3,760, that was two pumps that he ordered to replace the ones that he had sitting on the shelf because we used up.
That's a pass-through account, Julian, with the ARPA, or that's all out of ARPA, and that money's still all there?
So.
Is it $126,000 or whatever?
Yes. From what I show right now, based on what we've had, we still have about $300,500 or so left of the ARPA funds.
Sounds like we're good there.
Yeah. So, there are two things. I'm going to bring this back to you.
That's fine. Thank you, sir. Yep.
There was one thing that came up when we were talking with SRF. We've got a line of credit that was taken out close to 10 years ago to do some repairs to our treatment plant. And we originally had that line of credit with Mutual Savings Bank. A year and a half ago, they came back and said they weren't going to renew the line of credit with us, so we've switched it to People's Bank. It's basically every year in June, we have to reapply for that line of credit then. In doing so, I don't see it being a problem if we go ahead and ask them to, you know, re-up that again this coming June. But SRF has told us that when we come to them this spring asking for the money for doing design, that we have that situated, or, you know, show that, all right, we've already reapplied and or tried to pay that loan off. In talking with Reedy Financial Group, they did say, depending on how the ARPA funds were set up, we could use that funds, if it was set up in a certain way, we could use that funds to try to pay off that line of credit. So we've got basically no loans, no nothing that we owe back to anybody. And then that would make it perfectly straight with SRF and getting future funds. I know they've got several questions in regards to that, but if that's something that you guys are okay with us looking into, I will get with Julia to see if the funds were set up appropriately for us to do that. I believe that line of credit's around $23,000 right now, is what we've got open. And like I say, it was only taken out at the time to do some repairs to the plant. They didn't have the funds to do it at that time. We've basically been paying almost interest-only payments on it lately just to make sure that we're not zeroing out our bank account and not have anything in it. But I'd like to try to wipe that clean and get rid of it. So if that's,
we need to do some checking on to make sure that it's appropriate under our proposals, because some of those are fairly contingent.
And what I would like to do is I'd like to get, her name's Caitlin, with Reedy Financial Group, to get her directly with you so you guys can talk and find out for sure, you know, yes, if it's set up the right way for us to use that funds to do so, then great. If not, then obviously we'll figure out something else. So.
Just a question. Yep. The $8.5 million for the new plant, that would be a plant big enough to handle what Brown County Regional Sewer District has in mind?
In mind, currently, of what they're planning, yes. So currently, just our existing plant is rated for about 20,000 gallons per day. Our operator says we're only using about half of that. We're only seeing 10 to 15,000 gallons a day in through that plant. The new plant that we're looking at, what we're considering as kind of a phase one design of the plant, is for 100,000 gallons per day. And we've coordinated our engineering firms both back and forth between us and Brown County RSD, have been back and forth to figure out exactly, okay, how much are you needing for what you're wanting to hit right now? And then our plant's set up to be easily expandable, basically just add another set of tanks right next to it, and, you know, to be able to get increased flow. So if in 5, 10 years, whichever down the road, they, you know, we need to add more customers or if we need more flow through the plant, we can easily do so.
Yeah, I definitely want to see coordination between the two districts.
Yeah.
As far as the future needs, so we don't wind up building a plant that's in 2 years too small.
Exactly.
Plan for the future. You know, a project like this, I think you really need to be looking out 30 years, at least envisioning what could happen. And I know nobody can predict the future.
And our preliminary engineering reports looked out 20 years, I believe.
20 to 25 years.
So we kind of have you know, an idea or a game plan in place with that report to say, here's what's coming now, here's what could be coming in 10 years or, you know, in that 25 years.
Yeah. But Kevin, you might be able to speak to that a little bit.
Just want to tag on to the coordination between this is their engineer, Locke Mueller, and my firm, BLM, and the two boards. It's going well, and couldn't ask for more cooperation. And as far as the coordinated planning, yes, we have exchanged our engineering data with their firm, and the plant that's being considered would be able to be expandable to handle everything in our phase one project.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
And our two boards still do have a joint meeting every monthly. Our next one is actually coming up next Thursday. So we are still actively doing that. I think we did skip the December one just because it was right in the middle of the holidays and we really didn't have much to cover, so we all agreed, yeah, we'll forego that one and just go into January. So.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the update. Do you guys have any questions for him?
I don't.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
I'd like to go back to the claims.
Okay.
So get it out of line.
All right.
The only thing that I'm seeing here, and I'm sure you guys can address this, this is a lot of money that comes several times a year, if I'm not mistaken, is on the insurance. Have you looked at that? Are you good with that, Julie? I mean, we're on track with that, right? There's no question that that gets paid this round, because sometimes in the past it seemed like we had paid something, then
it'll get paid.
Now we're good?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve all the claims.
Second.
Question and a second. Discussion? Questions? Not? Raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Any opposed? No. Thank you very much. Get the bills paid.
One more thing.
Yep.
In the next claim, the courthouse change order, okay, it'll be ready by next time. I think we identified where our $12,280-some in change is coming from. We're correct on that. You two are on the same page? Okay, so at the next meeting, it'll be in the claims, and I can call them people and tell them the check's coming after the next commissioner meeting on the 5th. Correct?
Once those claims are approved, you can.
That's clarifying. The money's been identified, and other DLZs then dropped their money off, and we should be good to go with that, and that issue will be resolved. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all I got on that.
DLZ went ahead and honored the arrangement that we proposed at our last meeting to split the cost of the additional change order. They've already reimbursed us with a check for that, so we'll go ahead and pay the $24,575 after approval at our next commissioner's meeting.
And I believe it was the auditor that actually recommended doing the 50-50 split. I actually seen that in the minutes.
Yeah.
Good job for making the motion.
Most of the time, there's not a problem with splitting the difference if we come to an impasse. So that worked out. And we did get everything that is there, even though we were not expecting the difference of 2 feet 8 inches in the height of the building. I see the point to be made there, even though it was a mistake made by the engineering firm, that we got the bricks, the blocks, and like extra plumbing and wiring, whatever was entailed there. So. In retrospect, while I wasn't for initially, I have kind of come to see the light that had that been in there, the bids may have been higher initially. So even though there was a mistake made, it wasn't our fault. We got our value. Taxpayers probably got their value. It's a very nice addition. If you haven't been over there, you can go anytime you want to. And it lets you in at least as far as the security entrance anyway. And a much better situation than we've ever had in the past. And considering some of the things that happen now, I may have seen the one on the internet where the defendant charged across the judge's desk and knocked her to the ground and tried to choke her, I guess. So, you know, it's a crazy world we live in, and I get crazier all the time, it seems like, but can't be too secure when it comes to our justice system. Prosecutors and judges are a target by people who don't like their decisions or their actions, and sometimes they want to take it in their own hands. So we want to protect our people as much as possible. We've done a great job, I think, for the judge. Next, we need to do something for our prosecutor, because that's not a good situation there. So we'll be talking more about that. Okay, to the board appointments.
Let me ask you, Mr. President, just to speed this along, have you had a chance to look through all this?
I've seen what I've got here.
Yeah.
Did I get any of the letters or anything on...
Jerry has the copies right there. We went through everything and put them together today.
I just came in today.
You organized them for
it. Have you seen them all?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I haven't seen them.
Created this sheet.
I will say this, most of them are reappointments, and most of them, there's not multiples. There's some that there are multiples on.
Yeah. Can we do the ones that the people are present for and then table it until the 5th for the rest of them? Is that a problem?
We have the ones that have submitted letters here, and as he said, most of them... There's only one person applied, so.
Yeah. Well, if they're here and they want to speak, I don't have a problem letting them speak and vote.
Yeah.
But to absorb all that, it will take me a little time.
A lot of them will not come to the meetings, unfortunately.
No.
I wish they would. A lot of them do. Some don't.
I think a few of them are here.
Yeah, Tommy's
here. Yeah, some are here, obviously. Yeah. And there's more than welcome to speak, certainly. Yeah.
Would that be possible? Can I make a motion that we approve the ones that are here tonight and table until the at least read the letters?
Excellent. Fine with it.
I'll make a motion that it dies, and then you guys can vote.
Now, if you want to look through it, the people that are here that want to speak can.
Yeah.
We'll do those, and then the rest of you want to
approve. Yeah, I want to do due diligence and look. I just want to...
I came in at noon, so I've been reading them all afternoon.
You the man.
I'll second that.
Here's the cover sheet. This is the letter that was submitted.
Okay.
And then here's the form for a certificate of appointment.
Okay. And I apologize for that. And same. I've been, it's a tick under the weather.
Okay. All right. So.
So the first one up is Alcohol Beverage Board, Jack Chrysler and Dwayne Parson. You have anything you want to say?
Well, now, how are you going to do this if one out of the two is here?
Jack's already appointed.
Vote on the one that's here.
Okay, so that's good.
So Jack's already been appointed. Well, that's moving right along.
See there? Yeah, Dwayne Parsons, Alcoholic Board, Alcoholic and Tobacco Commissioner. I'll be real brief. My goal has been interested in having input to help the county grow and prosper through additional business opportunities within the guidelines of the Alcoholic Beverage Commission, and in turn adding more jobs to the community. With more businesses would require more housing opportunities. All this would also mean additional tax dollars going into the county, and in general help the county to grow in a positive direction. I feel that I have the time and interest to be an asset to the Alcoholic Beverage and Tobacco Commission. And then, yes, Jack was appointed last night. He's appointed by the town council, or the county council, I'm sorry. I appreciate the opportunity to function again for another year on the Alcohol Board and Tobacco, as I emphasize, and Tobacco Commission. We've not had hardly anything to do on my side as a commissioner with the tobacco industry, although there are guidelines and rules and regulations within the county to sell tobacco products. My duties are going to become much more complex within the next near future. I can't designate near future, and the key word's cannabis. It's coming. Eventually, who knows when. It's all around us, all the other states, and we will govern it, we will license it, we will tax it. So whether that adds to the amount of commissioners we'll need or not, I have no idea at this point, but we have had ongoing discussions about it. And it's going to be as new a deal as the 1935 Beverage Act, because nobody knows, it's new, and it's going to be huge. Yeah. It's going to have a huge, huge impact on the state tax income. So I'm looking forward to taking that on, and apprehensive, but still anxious to see it. Thank you for your interest in backing me.
Thank you. So, go ahead. No, I was just going to make a motion. Do we make a motion on each one of them?
You will if you do.
Yeah,
you
so go like ahead.
How many alcohol licenses have you issued in the last year?
I was afraid you'd ask that. I've got my book back here. Probably we deal on about 100, but they're renewable. We call it reviewable and renewable. We review every single license that is current now or future, and then they get renewed on a yearly basis. And to give you, and I don't want to tie you up too much, but give you a real brief summary. If you just want a beer and wine license, I believe that's $750 when you apply to the state. And that's whether you get it or not. But the process goes, at least from my standpoint, Sandy's here, she's with the town, and if you was going to start the riverfront, which is the town area here, licenses are given out by population, census report and population in that area. Well, the town has a lot of opportunities for licenses, so they developed, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, a riverfront section so we could sell more licenses, basically. And we've defined the riverfront, but we haven't found the river. It's kind of like Paoli with the riverboat. They put it on a pond. Yeah. Now you don't have to do that.
That's right.
So, but anyway, in answer to your question, we're almost maxed out on the riverfront town area on three-ways. Three-way license costs you $1,250 per year. And I think we have one left. We have only one that I'm aware of that's wine only. And that's, I think, $250, and that's the Hobnob. And then the rest of them basically are three-ways. And then in the county, I don't have that figure, but it's over 100 licenses, because we have the mini breweries and the mini distilleries, and we have the wineries, and then, of course, we have the restaurants.
Is there more of those possibly going to be handed out?
If they come before the state, as I started to say on the Sandy's deal, Sandy being with the town, she has someone come and they petition her for the permit, then they vote on it, correct? Her council votes on it. Then it goes to the state, Alcoholic Beverage Commission, and then the state puts it on an agenda, which is this agenda here, that then comes to us as the county, and then we vote on it. We have a hearing. If it's a new petition, the petitioner or their legal has to be here to speak, and then any remonstrators, as we call them, they have to be in person to speak. We hear all that, and then we vote on it, and then there's three commissioners and our excise officer, which comes to four. Pretty easy math. But we all four vote, and we have had tie votes. Now, if we have a tie vote, then it goes to the board, that the main Alcoholic Beverage Tobacco Board down on Washington Street, down in Indianapolis, and they vote on every single petition, period. They review it and they vote on it. So if we have a tie, 2-2, then they will override our tie. So it's not a lost, not necessarily a lost. It's kind of, when it leaves us, it's kind of a lost. But then within a week, they meet, and then they override what we say. And they can also override if we would do a 4-0 vote for or against, they can override that on the state level, which makes it kind of interesting. And then we seldom get word back of how the vote went downtown.
Has that ever happened?
Yes.
Huh. You guys got it all wrong?
I didn't think we had it wrong, but no. What happened was the down here at the Harmony Hills, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Used to be the Rawhide Ranch. They wanted to put a little tavern house converted into a little tavern down on the road, right by the highway, and their main facility, their event facility, is up on the hill. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous facility. They have a license up there. Well, they wanted to put up kind of a little stop on your way home and go in and partake. And it was voted in. We had a one member was absent, so it was voted 2-1. Hmm. Two commissioners voted it in, and the excise officer voted it down. And when it went to the state, I don't know, I can't answer whether the state then voted it down or whether they voted it in, and then because they had to vote one way or the other right then. And then it can be appealed. And I don't know if it made the appeal process or whether they went ahead and voted with our excise officer, but it was denied.
Okay.
It's the only one that I'm aware of that was denied in that manner.
I thought that they had amended that to say it was going to be that little house down by the road was going to be beer, wine, and cannabis.
That's not in the minutes that I have. But then
I misheard.
Then like your Hard Truth Hills up on the hill out here, yeah. Gorgeous facility. To have your three-way and be able to sell three kinds of liquor and have your permit, you have to have food sales. As far as obviously the Hoosier Buddy does not, but they have to have food sales, and you have to have $150,000 in food sales per year. Of course, that all goes into the, I believe, the innkeeper's tax or whatever it is, or the whatever the food tax is. And I've got it back in my book. It's immaterial, but they did well over $1 million in food last year because it was on their renewal. So it's a nice opportunity for me to try and help out and oversee things. It's very interesting. We get to go out and review the buildings and make sure that they are in conformance to the state laws, and which we've had several recently that were not, and they had to kind of rebuild. And so it's the cannabis end of it. Unless they form a separate committee, it should fall under our jurisdiction. That'll be a very interesting project. A lot of training. A lot of training goes with this job, too.
Now, Dwayne, you don't get to sample those products, do you?
I don't recall. I think that was a famous saying a few years ago at the Witness Magazine. I don't recall. No, as a matter of fact, and I'm taking up way more. Matter of fact, I cannot work at CVS, I can't work at IGA. I have a salary with the state. I'm a state employee, but I leave more tip on the table usually than my monthly salary. But I cannot work anywhere that sells alcohol. And so it limits some people if they, you know, if they had a IGA stock job or a CVS or something. So it limits that. And we do review each and every license, I say we, the excise, yearly. We go out and do a, hate to use the word sting, but it's kind of a go in and review. And we had a young lad that worked for the state, and he since became 21, and we fired him. We laid him off, but he had full beard. He looked 27, 28 years old, and he would go in and try and make a purchase, and then they can come right back the next day and make a second one. It's just everybody gets checked once, and then a lot of them second. Because I know when I go in occasionally, I'll down here at the winery and get a bottle of wine, she'll always ask me, "Have you got your ID with you, Dwayne?" But anyway, thank you for the opportunity to help the county and anything else I can do.
You seem to know what you're talking about, sir.
Well, I'm a good talker.
I'm a good, very good talker.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne. I'm sorry we can't get you a badge, a gun, and a car. But maybe someday that could happen. I don't know.
Maybe you'll need that with the cannabis stuff.
Yeah. I don't have my car, but I got my card.
Oh, you got a card. Oh, all right. Got some credentials.
Man, there you go.
That's pretty good. Right.
Our excise officer, by the way, doesn't really have the credentials you would think. So.
Thank you, sir.
Does he have a badge?
Not that I've seen. He has a gun.
He has a gun?
Yeah. But
no vehicle?
He does have a vehicle. He's out of our excise officer is out of Seymour office.
Oh, good.
We have five excise officers within the state, and he covers 19 counties.
19 counties.
Our officer does. Very nice gentleman. And he also has Monroe County, which is very, very active. And because your licenses are all based upon your census report. How many residents you have? We have, what, 13,000? But basically,
maybe.
So that tops us out. Indianapolis, of course, I don't know how many millions they have. And I'm not sure that they may have more than three commissioners. And I can stay here all night. I know you got things to do. The licenses are $1,250 a year for a three-way. There was one revoked, three of them revoked within the last couple of years in Marion County. And before, they would just go into kind of a lottery. If you had people that wanted a license, they would put their name in the lottery, and then the state would pull their number out, and they'd pay their $1,250 and buy the permit. Well, that changed. They wised up and decided, we ought to do an auction. So they auctioned the one 2 years ago, $400,000 is what the license went for. They have two right now. They're going to auction very soon. Within this spring, that were from a couple gentlemen's clubs that they revoked them, and their estimate is $5 million apiece.
Oh, jeez.
Basically, there's two people that own the bulk of the licenses in Marion County, and it's in Monroe County. It's Big Red Liquors. I think there's two gentlemen that own all of them. Mm. So it's a it's a big deal.
Well, thank you for the information.
Well, thank you. Sorry to tie up this long. You'll know not to let them speak.
You want to make a motion, Blake?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and move that we reappoint Dwayne Parsons to the Alcoholic Beverage Board.
Motion. Second.
I'll go ahead and second it.
Motion. Second. Discussion. Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Wayne.
You'll pass moving that right along.
What is it? Here we go. That's open. Okay. Next, we go to the Health Board, the Brown County Health Board, and Tony Elman. You'd like to say a word?
Hi, my name is Tomi Elmore, and I'm a member of the Brown County Health Board. And I appreciate you asking me here tonight, and some familiar faces I've seen, some new faces, some over there. I see my position on the Health Board as being another position of public service. I love Brown County. I love everything about it. Even though we disagree on a lot of aspects, when it comes down to push and shove, we're there for each other. And that's what I enjoy. I enjoy seeing people. I enjoy being a moderator and a mediator. And I think that's my talent on the board, is, I'm not a septic expert, I'm not a health expert. What I am an expert is on people and where I live. And I know that when down and out, we work together. And so, again, as a mediator and as a person that lives in Brown County for over 20 years, I feel that I contributed to that position. I appreciate your vote.
I've had the good fortune of seeing Tomi in action there on the board, and it's very, very impressive. If you ever want to see how a board's supposed to be run, either look to President Pittman or Tomi Elmore, and they'll show you how it works very, very well. She's second only to her quality work on the volunteer fire department. So
appreciate that.
You're an integral part of this community, young lady.
And what I find interesting is that even Jerry and I have had opposing views on things.
No.
But when the day comes here, we can still work together.
Absolutely.
And I find that, you know, remarkable and enjoyable, because that's what America's all about, is we're here to have our different opinions, but when it comes to it, we just move forward together.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Any questions there, Commissioner?
I think I'm going to pass on questions.
Okay.
Oh, you're fine.
So I'll go ahead and move that we go ahead and reappoint Tomi to the Board of Health.
Motion. Go here a second. I'll second your motion, Blake.
Okay.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye, same.
Okay. Add that down there. Okay.
Library Board. Did we appoint him, or did the County Council do that last night? Up there it says Robert Gusman, says dear County Council members.
Yeah. That was an appointment last night.
Yeah.
It was. They appointed him, so that's done.
Okay.
Moving right along.
Okay. Tourism Commission. Barry Herring and Garrett Clifford applied for reappointment. Either one of them here or not, I don't think so.
Okay, I'd like to review that.
Okay.
I made a motion to table it until I can review it next.
Yeah, if they're not
here. 5th.
Yeah.
That's
fine.
Yeah, we decided.
We already, you know, you made a motion in a second, so you're fine.
Okay. Yeah. Park and Rec Board, one remaining from 4-year term. Is it Kyle Wagner's?
Wagers.
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 Yeah. I'll be completing the last year of a 4-year term of one who resigned.
Is he here?
No.
Okay, we'll do that on the 5th.
Okay.
Brown County Regional Sewer District, 4-year term. I'll let you guys pronounce his name. First name, Steve.
Langton.
Okay.
They ask, is anybody else running for that position besides Steve?
I didn't see anything. Well, I said, did you notice if anybody else was running for that?
For what?
Brown County Regional Sewer District?
No, didn't get any others.
No.
So a little background. My name is Richard Hall, and I've been a board member and the secretary of the Brown County Regional Sewer District for the last 4 years. I was reappointed by the council last night. Mike Liggins is president of our district, and we wholeheartedly support Steve being added to our board. Phil LeBlanc has retired. Young Matt Hanlon is going to take over the duties as treasurer. Steve's been at most of our meetings for a better part of 2 years. He lives in the Lake Lemon area. He's in the target zone eventually and has shown great interest and been very supportive of what we're trying to do.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, I've been living in Lake Lemon since 2016. I retired from a steel mills up in Northwest Indiana. I worked in sewage treatment for over 25 years.
Wow.
So I've got a few things I can contribute to the discussions that we have. Got any other questions for me?
Anything down there?
I just make a brief statement, and then you can make your motion. I'm not really in favor of all the development of Brown County. I realize I'm just one person, and the majority rules. So, with that said, I'm going to let you guys decide there.
Okay, with the glowing recommendations there, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we go ahead and appoint Steve to the remainder of the term for the Brown County Regional Sewer District.
It's a new appointment.
It's a new appointment?
It is a new appointment.
Yeah, for your term.
I'll revise that to state such.
Yeah, the one before that we didn't do, Kyle, is the one.
Is the one, I got you.
Year remaining, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So, that was amended okay, Sandy?
Yes.
Make a motion?
I did make a motion.
Yes, okay. Do I hear a second? I will then second the nomination. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Nay.
Okay. 2-1. Pass that on down.
You can tell you're not running for election, then.
I've been worried about it.
Sandy's going to do this? No, Sandy said that they don't have to take it out. That is their person.
Okay. So, and if Linda Bowers is the town's nominee for reappointment to the health board.
Okay.
She's not here, so you can put that on for the next.
She's the town. The town's going to handle it.
But, we got to sign off on it.
Okay.
What it is, the law says that we have to accept a recommendation from the town for one of these spots on the health board. And so that's something that's relatively new. In fact, I think it's the first time we've encountered this. But we informed the town that they needed to recommend someone for the health board, and they recommended Linda Bauer. So we will probably appoint her. I don't think we have any more applications, so that'll be next meeting. The Hamblin Township Fire District Board 4-year term, we had no letters of interest for that position.
If they did send one to us, we just need to be notified, because I didn't find it in anything.
You have someone you think is interested?
No, I don't know that anyone does, but I was surprised I didn't get anything. So
yeah.
If there is someone out there.
Didn't receive any letter of interest. We advertise all of these appointments, local newspaper,
and maybe someone come forward.
Yeah.
And it's up to someone to come forward if they want to serve on any of these boards, and we didn't get anyone who showed interest at this point in time. So
we'll, if we get somebody, and we can put them on for the 5th, right?
Sure. Then we have the Property Tax Assessment Board of Appeals, more commonly known as EABOA. You know, we had two persons express interest in that. It's a 1-year term, and
is there only one appointment, or is two appointments available?
I think we had two appointments.
Okay.
Yeah. And we had one, Jason Cockrell and Robin Rosenberg. Expressed letters of interest for these two positions.
Is Jason here? So how do you want to do that? There's one out of the two here.
Just go ahead and vote on him.
So Jason actually has to. So the Peterborough Board requires two appointments from the commissioners, one appointment from the council. One of the appointments from the commissioner has to have someone with the level two assessor certifications. You do not have to be a Brown County resident to be on PETA BOA. Jason meets that qualification from Lawrence County as the former Lawrence County assessor, and he has kept his certifications. So I don't think that Jason's going to drive over here for an evening for 5 minutes to come be on the PETA BOA board. He comes out of his own work schedule to come here to be on the PETA BOA board just to meet the state requirements is what he does. So the other part of this is that nobody knew that they had to be here because in previous years they've never had to be here for this meeting. So some people will probably be like, why all of a sudden did the commissioner say they had to be here when it's never been notified?
Well, I think what it was said, Robin, and I may be wrong here, it wasn't that they had to be here, but since Commissioner Sanders hadn't had a chance to go through the applications as thoroughly as he wanted to, he asked if we could delay the ones that weren't here so he could go back and study up, do his due diligence. Is that right?
Yeah, he blamed it on me. That's fine.
I mean, that's what I thought. So, I mean.
Okay, so now that you understand how the PETA BOA board works, I would say that if you want to meet state requirements with somebody with a level two, that's why Jason puts his name in. It's more to help the county. It's not anything for Jason.
And which level are you?
You don't have to. I don't have a level. You only have one person with a level two to be on PETA BOA. I do not have a level.
So how many people are on PETA BOA?
That would be three.
Three. Who's the third?
Third one is appointed by the council.
Okay, and they did that last night?
No, nobody put their name in last night.
This is a position that is hard to fill.
Nobody wants to be on PETA BOA.
Yeah.
Correct.
Gets a little dicey.
You may not make a lot of friends if you're on that floor.
Unlike this one.
Yeah. Well, I'd entertain a motion on Robin Rosenberg for this position.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we accept Robin's application and as well as Jason, because it looks like he's got the necessary credentials that they need. So I'll go ahead and move that we approve both of them to that board.
Motion. Do I hear a second?
Well, that's not what we agreed to earlier.
Yeah, but did you hear what she said?
I heard exactly what she said. I'd still like to review his letter and see if, you know, he wants to drive up here every time there's a PETA BOA.
But he's not, okay, but he...
So Jason's been on the board already for 2 years, and at the last meeting, Mary Miller asked if he would do a third year, and he said yes. So that's why Jason's letter is here.
Okay.
Do you not? You can read it real quick, and then...
I'm fine. You guys go ahead and make your motion.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. So I move to both of them.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I hear a second? Considering the circumstance, I will second your motion. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Nay.
Okay. Congratulations, Robin and Jason, in your absence. Okay, we come to Redevelopment Commission, 1 year term.
And I don't know that, I know Tim Clark's here, but I don't think that the,
I don't see his name on there. But, I mean, none of them had names on them other than...
These were his notes.
I get it. Yeah. Are you interested, Mr. Clark, in being on the...
I am.
Okay.
How many applications or letters of interest did we have for RDC?
Okay. There was three.
Ross Benson?
And Ross Benson's here.
Okay. Three. John Curry's not, so we got multiples here, so how do you want to handle that?
I didn't... made a motion and you seconded that they weren't here. At least I got time to review it.
I thought that was an anomaly since we had to have one person on there that had a level two classification for the PETA BOA.
Okay, that's your opinion. That's fine.
I mean, you know.
That's fine.
So Rob Benson is here and Tim Clark is here. Do either one of you like to speak?
This is just for one.
Yeah, Tim Clark. Hey, I appreciate the opportunity to be reappointed. Well, the long-term project has been trying to baseline what the property tax base has been in the county. And this started a few years ago. And finally, it looks like we're making some progress. Technology has changed. Talked to the contractors there, the guts that handles our information provided by the treasurer, assessor, and the auditor. And it looks like they've upgraded the technology, and we may be getting close to having access to data, maybe 15 years of trend data, where we could actually baseline what the economic tax base is for our property in the county. And that's been a long-term project. So we're getting close. I think we have the technology to do it. And what's funny, you know, I've worked on the RDC before and had worked by you and the NPA program, SPIA. They've done two projects for us. Well, the individual that did the last project, he's stayed in contact with me over the years, and he's still interested in following through on a project to kind of base that information. Real quick, guys, if you go out and look at our GIS system, and you look at, we've got 5 years worth of data out there, is what the assessments are doing and the property tax is doing. And so if you want to know is what area of the county are we improving in and not improving in, if you want to look at what the economic impact of sewers may be, what's the baseline now, what could it be, that's that database. That's, and so there's 15 years of data behind what you see out on the county GIS system. And after that 5 years of data that you look at, it goes away. We don't have access to it. So to see any trend, we don't have it. So we're close now. The software is available, and the technology from the guts vendor is available. We can start baselining information and actually determining, you know, where we're growing in the county, where we're not, what the impact of different development projects are. So looking forward to really working through that project and getting something done and showing you what the capability of is the analytics when it comes to that kind of data. So any questions for me?
Okay. Thank you, sir.
While he's here, can we go ahead and make a motion and then have the other gentleman step up? And I'll make a motion to go through town for another year.
We just have one appointment, is that correct?
No, two.
We have two.
Looks like there's three.
Three?
Those were, that we only get to pick two, but there's multiple requests.
Thank you, sir. Well, I made a motion that we approve Tim Clark for one more year.
Here a second.
I'd rather hold off until the third person that's not here is evaluated. I do want Mr. Benson to be able to say something so you won't have to come back if you don't want to, you know, the fifth, where we're going to actually, well, they may pull the trigger now, but.
We're going to step up early. Sure.
Yeah.
That way we can hear you.
Yeah. Good evening. My name is Ross Benson. My wife and I moved down here about 7 years ago. We built a home. I own a few businesses. My wife and I have started a business downtown here called the Cheeky Owl. We're slowly entering semi-retirement, looking for things to do. I've met so many people down here who are involved in the community, in working to help everybody improve our lives down here. And I was asked to submit my name for this. I've been trying to get into some areas to try to help out, try to pitch in. My background, I've owned my own business for about 35 years in the machine tool business. I'm very active in you know, starting projects, seeing them through, budgeting, planning, return on investment. I have a lot of marketing background, a lot of computer background, a lot of organizational background. So if my skills could be helpful here, I'd be happy to serve. And I'll leave it, any questions you might have.
Yeah, what's your wife going to do? She needs to get involved too.
Well, she's on the town version. She's on the town board, so she beat me to it.
We didn't want you slacking on.
I'll keep him in line.
Do you have a vision of where you'd like to see Brown County go in the future?
Well, I grew up in a town even smaller than this. You know, my graduating class was, I think, 60 people, two towns. So I appreciate the small town. But I also know that we need, you know, some level of growth. We need technology to try to, you know, entice people to come in. Everyone knows that we've got, you know, population, you know, we've got our youth is just disappearing on us. So I think that anything that this community could do to build and entice business that would be beneficial to educate, train, hire the young people would be very helpful for Brown County. We've been down to Gatlinburg a few times since we moved down here, and a lot of people say, well, this is like a little Gatlinburg. Well, this is nothing like a little Gatlinburg. This town has charm. It has, you know, privacy. I walk down the street now. I walk to a mailbox. I'll stop and talk to five people on the way. You know, and then five people on the way back. I like that, you know. But obviously, you know, you have to kind of look at what's happening, what's available that can bring improvements in the standard of living and the technology that's available to all of us here. So other than that, I have no experience with what's been going on with the board. I'll admit that up front, you know, so it'll be probably a learning curve initially.
Yep. What are your businesses in the county?
We have the Cheeky Owl, which is a store right downtown. We bought the old Paper Tricks building.
What's it do?
Gift shop, clothing, things like that, you know, so in terms of what, you know, the RDC might do and what you talk about, we're tracking our trends, we're tracking our history. Building on that, we've been at for 5 years now, trying to see what's happening, you know, how we want to grow our business, how we want to change our business. In a small retail shop, you have to be kind of nimble, have to be able to move, you know, have to change and recognize when things aren't working. So, you know, that's one. The second is I have a machine tool business. I've been representing a company in Barcelona for 25 years. And so I have spent a lot of time over the years in Indiana working with various manufacturers in aerospace, orthopedic, you know, the speedway, you know, the races. I've been involved with the machine tools, so I've attended a lot of those events up there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, you and Dwayne should talk. He's a machinist.
Pardon me?
Dwayne Carson.
Yeah. Retired.
Plus, he's got Bose back there. ABC.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. So you don't want to vote on these tonight, sir?
I want to investigate the others since we got multiples there.
So there's only two. Okay, so what you're saying, if we vote for him tonight, then we leave one out?
Yeah. I want to wait.
That's fine. So moving on to community corrections, there's nobody there.
Hey, that's what there is.
Oh. Yes,
there is.
It says open, but there's no name.
What? Oh, no, I've got a bunch of positions.
Oh.
Yeah, they're there. We just, Jerry just didn't. There's okay. One position that we still have open.
Actually, I got two now.
You have two now?
Well, okay, so are you?
Yeah, I want to take one.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just didn't know who I go to
make that happen. You?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I'm okay for you tonight. Do you want to take Don's?
Whoever. I
one here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've got, you should have letters for four people that are just renewals.
They're in the pile, aren't they? Aren't they in the pile?
Yes. They're all community corrections are in a stack together. There's a number of them.
And those are our advisory board positions. They're set out by the state. The prosecutor has to be on it, the judges, da 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 da.
So a lot of those are not every one of those, just the ones that had to be reappointed are there.
Okay. But
if we don't approve these tonight, it's no big.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I would like you to approve the renewal ones because I'm one of those renewals. I'm the chair. So.
You come, so I don't have a problem with
there we go.
Yours.
And I, mine expired at the end of 23. Cody Morrison is our public defender that's on the board.
Okay.
She took over someone's term who left, but now she's willing to go and do 4 years. Hanley is our juvenile probation officer, and she's in another position that has to be on the board.
Uh-huh.
And her term, she just started 2 years ago.
It's Hannah Lee?
Hannah Lee.
Hannah Lee, okay.
And she's willing to continue with that. And then Jill Seward is our victim advocate, and she's with the prosecutor's office, and it's a set position that we have to have. And she's been on it for many years, and her term was up at the end of 23, and she's willing to continue that. But then I have two openings. Stephanie Yeager retired from our board after many years. So that's a 4-year term, and I believe her position was one of the lay. We have 4 lay person positions. And then, I don't know if you know who Don Berenger is. He's been on our board for many years, and he just passed away. He had resigned the beginning of December, and he got some bad health news, and he died in December 29th, I think. So his position, he only had one more year on that. So what I would like to do tonight, if we could, I know Melissa Stinson has talked to Mallory Rockwell, our director, about filling in one of those positions, and was a little concerned about the time frame. If we could have her fill in Don Berenger's remaining position, so that'd be a whole year, and then we'll have to find someone else to do fill in for Stephanie Yeager's layperson position.
How do you want to do that, Ron? You still want to just do the ones?
I kind of like to stick to the plan that we made. I don't have a problem approving you. Is it going to be corrections if you don't do it by the 5th?
Well, I don't know what they would have, why they would need to come here.
They don't have to come, but I'd like to review the information.
Okay. No, if you could do mine at least.
I'll do yours. I make a motion that we do hers tonight.
And I don't know.
Tell me your name one more time.
Jennifer Acton.
Huh? Yeah.
Jennifer Acton.
I make a motion we approve Jennifer Acton.
I'll second that.
Is that for 4 years?
Yes.
For 4 years.
We have a motion and a second. Jennifer Acton for any corrections. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay.
How about, like I said, I don't want to crawfish on what I said. I would have made it contingent that I read it and agree, but I think I'm going to stick with my original motion.
Would you be willing to make a motion to appoint Melissa?
For the 1 year?
Yes, for the 1 year. For the
she's
year.
Here.
She's
Melissa's here.
Melissa's here.
Yeah. Well.
And we had talked about, she's been in conversations with our director, and the goal was, I think, have her fill Stephanie Yeager's, but...
I decided that I would like to try just 1 year and see if it fits, and if so, then I would
so
ask for a re.
I'll let you make the motion for Melissa.
Question.
Question.
We had 4 letters of interest.
Those are the renews. Mm-hmm. So they're already on the board.
They're all
so they just need to be renewed.
Okay.
I would be new, which I don't have a form there because.
We know you.
I need to talk to her first.
We know you.
Okay, so these other 3 here would be next meeting?
Sure.
So Commissioner Sanders is going to peruse them, and then you'll be all set to go on the 5th.
Okay, very good.
But so I'll go ahead and make a motion that we adopt Melissa to fill out the 1 year remaining that's been vacated. And a good time was had by all.
That's Don Berenger's position that he
yes.
vacated. Yeah. Okay. We have a motion. Do I hear a second? I'll second the motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Nay. No, I don't nay. I'm going to abstain.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Jennifer.
So all that down there below that is we're done with that?
Yes. That's the end of that tonight, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Highway, is that next?
Yes.
Thank you. I want to give you just 2 little quick little updates and we can move on. The one
Hold on just one second.
Commissioner boards.
Sorry, my...
Approve the commissioner boards.
Are we going to redo the same as what you had before on the commissioner boards?
The boards that you're on.
Oh, the positions.
Yeah. Ron, on the emergency management.
I'll stay on emergency management. I'd asked if we could possibly appoint Chad to the District 8. Do you like to be the treasurer, secretary?
No.
Jerry?
See, I think we talked about this. It doesn't have to be a commissioner, but...
That was for District 8.
Yeah.
Then I said something about... I'll go ahead and take the secretary and treasurer again.
Oh, okay.
Or kind of like...
Okay.
Board of finance.
Another year. Is it for 1 year?
For what?
To be the secretary to the treasurer on their board.
Oh, the board of finance? That's not on. That was done last time. That was done when we had the board of finance.
Yeah.
This is the emergency management, Ron Sanders, 911 GIS, Blake Whopper, Public Records Commission, and President or Vice President, Region 8 Workforce Development, Jerry Pittman, Solid Waste, all three commissioners, and Maple Leaf Management is Jerry Pittman.
So they need to just figure out which one's going to be Vice President, President of the one.
They could be, we're looking into possibly having Chad be on District 8, representing us, but when the commissioner has to go, they'll have Jerry go.
Yeah. About once out of every 4 years, they have a...
We'll check with Lee vote and make sure that we can do that.
They have a vote that has to be made by commissioner.
Okay.
Contingent that we can do that. Make Chad.
Five people in that Region 8 board.
You guys going to stay the same?
I'm fine. Are you? Stay the same one?
Okay. The rest of them?
Yeah. The ones that we mentioned.
Except for District 8. Jerry will be on the board. But we're looking into seeing if Chad can do it.
He could attend meetings.
You know, they do a lot with the fire departments, and he fits right in with that.
Sure.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to approve those.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay.
So am I on the secretary for the board, the treasurer?
You're, yes.
Oh, thank
until
you.
Next year.
Thank you.
When Andy appoints you again.
Thank you. Maybe I'll learn something. Now, is it Mike?
Yes.
Sorry.
That's good. First update was last Thursday. We actually received both of our Kenworth trucks that had been ordered for a couple of years. Kenworth actually delivered the first one. We had the checks available to pay for them, which came out of a combination of 2022 and 2023 budgets that we had saved up money to pay for them. They delivered the first one about 1:30 in the afternoon. And then I actually took our mechanic and went back up to Indy because we had to pick up, they went ahead and installed our salt V boxes, so they had to take the tailgates off. So we went and picked up the extra parts. I finalized all the paperwork with them, got them paid, and then I wrote the second one back since I'd be a CDL driver. So we actually do physically have both trucks on site, and they're beautiful right now. And actually, when I pulled in the parking lot, I had somebody pulling behind me and just hollered out the window, "They will never look that good again." And that's true, but they are nice trucks. So our long anticipated, we talked about it several different meetings, but we actually can close that out now because we actually have them on hand. And I'm thrilled about that. So now we can look at ordering the next ones, which probably take another 2 years to get them. So we'll start on that. And then the other one, I was just going to give you a quick update from last week. Last Friday afternoon, we had rain in the day and then we received those high winds, which we had a lot of trees, power lines down, so we kind of worked that off and on all night. And then about 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning, it started snowing. So I actually had to do a call out to have the guys come in and spread some salt and sand. And we completed that by late afternoon and only had actually only had one phone call that left a message on her phone, which was amazing. Had a few from dispatch, but as far as the public calling, so we got out and hit them as quick as we could and hit all the major routes. We didn't get all the dead inside roads, but we hit the main thoroughfares. And it was a really freaky storm because when it started snowing, we still had the high winds. So if you were in open flat ground, it actually just blew it off in the fields. But like going up the Greasy Creek Valley, that road was covered in slick right off the bat. And like one side of the Humphrey Hill, this side was slick, the other side was bare, just the way the wind hit it. So it was really spotty, but so we were able to cover the ground pretty quick with the guys spreading the material. So that all got taken care of. So other than that, we're just doing our normal, and then who knows with the forecast, we may be out again Thursday night into Friday. They're kind of forecasting, depending on which forecast you look at, they're talking about good possibility of some more snow. So we'll get everything prepped and ready to go. We, what material we use, we were remixing today, and then I've got delivery scheduled for tomorrow to refurbish our sand pile. So we'll restock and have to be fully loaded with sand by the end of the day tomorrow and be ready for the next storm. So that's all. Unless you have any other questions.
This one's more for Julie. I know we just took delivery on them in January. Could we put that on the asset, or does that have to go on the 24 asset?
They just got here. Probably have to go in 24.
We wrote the checks in 23, but we took delivery in 24. Last week.
We can think about that. Yeah. If you write this number down, though, you have it. It's $438,624. Yeah. And then we decide whether it goes there or next year or this year.
And let me inform you that Mike was able to buy and pay for these trucks with cash. No lease, no financing. They're paid for.
Check.
Yeah, they wouldn't give me $400,000 in cash.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But,
yeah, that's a good point. Thank you, Commissioner Sanders. That's something we worked very hard on. When I was actually just sharing that with the board earlier today, that when I actually took office in 2014, the county had actually bought three dump trucks and a front-end loader. And back then, the finance companies would allow you to take delivery without making a down payment. And unbeknownst to me, I was saddled with paying off for over the next 5 years, three dump trucks and a loader before we ever started buying anything else. So we've bought multiple pieces of equipment since then, and we've been very fortunate to, except for our CAT excavator, which we actually got a much better deal to do a five-year lease purchase, because that way they maintain it for the entire 5 years. CAT does. So that's the only piece of equipment right now that's on the finance plan. Everything else is paid for.
Very good. I like that.
It's really impressive to see the equipment that's there.
Oh, the difference. Since
what used to be?
What before Mike came. No comparison.
Yeah. The old dump trucks we had back then, it looked like we was lucky if they make it back home.
Some of them didn't. Most of them didn't.
And in that same period, we've paved a high percentage of all our paved roads. We've resurfaced them.
Yeah, we're almost 70%.
Yeah, about 70%. So.
And you did make it out to Cottonwood, right?
Yes.
Did it grade up finally from being so hard, or?
We actually did not cut it because it had rained right during that time period, so we just stoned it. Add new crush stone.
Anything on, did you try and assess the guardrail any at all? Do you know which side of the road the water line's on?
Yes.
Is it on the right or left side going up?
It's in that location, it's on the north side of the road, right down at the bottom.
On the right
but
side.
But it changes as you go down the road and up the hill. There's a couple places where they actually switch sides.
So that could be an issue with the guardrail.
Yeah, but the guardrail's mainly right there behind the church is what she was talking about.
It's kind of in the curve as you go up. Thank you, Aaron. As you go up, you kind of level off, and it's a turn or something right there. And it's a ravine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think they'd put a water line there.
No, it's over by the old school building right up through there.
Is there any room to even put a guardrail there?
Not really, without, on that, what would I call the south side, yeah. Church side. There's really not without being right up at the edge of the road. And actually, in my time, you know, since 2014, I've not seen a single accident report of anybody running off the road. So, I know, you know, Darrell Miller's been pastor there at the church for 40-some years, and I talked to him, and he said, as far as he was concerned, it's not a problem. So, but we'll assess it, and if we need to, we'll do a, you know, I'll have our engineers do a review on it. But the one thing to remember, and a lot of people don't realize this, by highway standards, guardrail itself is an obstacle.
Yeah.
So if you install guardrail, and Helmsburg Hill is a perfect example of that, the other morning, at least two different people come down the hill and wait till they are right to the bottom of the hill, and then they lock the brakes up and slid through the corner right into the guardrail. So guardrail can be a hazard on its own, not necessarily just a benefit.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. I think we already covered the courthouse earlier, didn't we, pretty much? Anything else?
Was the courthouse the only discussion, the change order? Or it's pretty well done, isn't it?
Yeah. Physically, there might be just a minor thing or two yet, but it's...
They've not sent the payment number 8 yet?
I don't think so.
You haven't seen it? Okay.
Yeah, it's looks very good. If you haven't been over there, as I said earlier, you can see the new security entrance. It's so much better than what we had.
I don't know why we're on it, though. We had a meeting. Was it last Friday, wasn't it? Friday before. Well, you guys zoomed in. We talked about the concrete thing.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne, you got a second?
Probably not, but... many seconds.
You can blame me for this. There's a issue. There's a curb that comes down through there, and then like a sidewalk. But to step on the sidewalk, you have to step over the curb. And then to the south of that, there's a like somebody had put a handicap ramp in there earlier. Okay, to get they just had one there before that was all poured. We had the discussion on whether we was going to cut out the new concrete. We had a discussion whether we was going to cut out the old concrete. And I said something to the fact that I wonder if we could put the bell there. Would you, and, you know, nothing's been decided or anything. Would you, and what I even come up with, possibly capping where the handicap ramp part was and putting another curb up because there's an issue with water. And the water needs to continue on down the drive. And the engineer come back and said something about they really didn't like capping concrete because it can crack or chafe or something. They talked about jackhammering it. There's gas line under it, and you're probably within 16 to 20 inches of the gas line. But the gas line's steel, so that's maybe. And then the second idea that I come up with was if you could, they decide to remove that part of the handicap ramp, if they could clamp onto it, and there was a big loader, the loader could probably just pick that concrete up, and we wouldn't have to jackhammer it. But my question to you was, if you can go down there and look, nothing's been decided, and think that, you know, even if we was to cap that, I don't know how you're going to mount the bell, if you're going to put a piece of steel down. If you put a piece of steel over that concrete and it cracks, it really don't matter. I don't know how you're going to form it. You're going to have it up off the ground a little bit, I would think.
You want to put the bell on that side of the building?
Where the alley is, where the new sidewalk is.
I thought it was going to go in the front.
That was the discussion originally. Nothing's been decided.
It was my knowledge it was going to be where those three orange flags are on
yes.
the southwest corner of the building.
But we have a piece of concrete already there.
Pardon me?
We have a piece of concrete already there.
Okay, well. Let me add, too, that we're another addition in the last few years since we came up with this plan. The pad may not be as critical as we're thinking about it because we want to set it around pavers, brick pavers engraved, and we're going to have a fundraiser to sell the pavers and anybody can buy them. So they could be set on, however they set, paver, sand.
They actually need to be set on concrete to make them.
I think they'd be better if they still set them on sand or something.
Yeah, make sand on top of it.
Yeah, I'm not real familiar with where you're.
Just drive down the alley.
Yeah, I know where the alley is.
You know, the new addition is, and there's a sidewalk that comes out, and you'll see a curb in front of that. And then there's like a little handicap wrap thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it's big enough for your bail project, because I think you've already cut the material.
That was my question, whether there's even enough room there. We were contemplating pouring an 8x8 foot.
Yeah, 8x8 or 10x10. Yeah. What we wanted was enough to not only house the bail itself, but to give it a walk around, because it's going to get. Some people want to walk around and look in. We don't want them. Originally, it was going to be where the old jail was, and that would have been a mud pit because there would, everybody would be walking in the grass, which would soon turn to mud.
Yeah. But we've got concrete there, and we could pour a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd be happy to look at it and see.
Just take a look at it. No decision's been made.
Yeah, it's
just a thought.
Yeah. I think it looks better in the front of the courthouse with all the rest of our.
And we haven't made a decision, but what. And I feel like aesthetically, there's going to be a lot of people that are driving through town that's not going to be in the alley that'll see the bell, and if it's back there, it's kind of hid. So I get that completely. But we're trying to make the best use. It's like the sidewalk in nowhere too. It's like they ran the sidewalk and then they got the curb here.
Yeah, I'd be happy to look at it and see. It's, you know, just have an opinion on it. I know it's up to the part of the members that powers to be. Without looking at it,
I kind of like where
we had talked about out toward the. I thought those three flags had flagged it again for that use. What happened to the original site on the southeast corner where the old fish fry at the end of that?
That's kind of
we flagged that once.
We're kind of talking about that.
There's been three sites. Identified. One was for the old log jail.
Well, we got one bail.
Then we looked at putting it in that area that's grass at the south end of where the pavers are, where the fish tent used to be.
Correct.
Which has concrete on
three sides, basically.
Anyway, then it was suggested that the best visibility would be on the other side next to Van Buren Street.
Mm-hmm.
We went over there and figured that out, and we've had holy moly out there three or four times now, and we still haven't done anything. I take responsibility. This project has been dragging on for 3 years, and because it hasn't happened, it's mostly my fault. But it is going to happen, and whenever the weather breaks, we're going to do something one way or the other when it goes there. I have everything's donated. It's not going to cost the county any. Dwayne's. Volunteered his service. Don Walton's doing his woodwork for it. Wayne has the different glass and the steel for it. Shelby Materials has volunteered to donate the concrete. Justin Mallow has volunteered to finish the concrete. I mean, we have everything to do it.
Helmsburg Sawmill donated the wood.
Yeah.
Which Don has at his facility.
Yeah.
So the fact that you mentioned the concrete, that will be a mix. And there's a good chance the concrete would match. Because they said something about if they mixed the concrete to cap that, that there'd probably be a color.
Yeah.
Just color.
I'm game for anything to get it done myself. I have preferences, but not knowing what that area looks like, it's not as big a deal as the Sally Port and all that. I mean, we get it out there.
See if it's big enough for like maybe a liquor permit.
I'm having trouble hearing. And we're also, to the folks that may not know, we're going to have a donation type box on a post, and hopefully we'll get a plaque. We will get a plaque if I buy it or whoever, say a bronze plaque or maybe a signage on the inside, giving a little bit of the history of at least the bell as we know it. We've really not been able to research it enough to crawl all around it and see if there should be a casting name on it, hopefully a date, and it's kind of hid out right now so that just for the security of the bell, because it's a historical piece.
I'm just trying to keep your hope alive.
Yes, thank you.
And that is not 3 years from now before we decide.
Well, I'm 74 last week, so I'd like to see it in my
this year,
time.
Maybe?
But whenever we can do it, it's not a priority.
But I mean, just whenever we can do it. We need to do something there. Either take the concrete out, add more. We need
to
do something.
It would be nice between now and April the 8th. That would be very nice to have our town looking the best we can in the historical side of the town. And I think that would be...
We wouldn't have to go out in the yard and dig.
That would be a goal that I think we could maybe set.
We could possibly even take some of those pavers that are there up.
And move them around, yeah.
And extend the concrete more toward the building to give you your 8x8. I think that'd be pretty easy to do. Just an idea.
Take a look at it. We'll make the structure as compact as we can so that there will be more room to work around it. And the pavers was just kind of an idea to, we got to do something. So I think there's been quite a bit of interest on people wanting to buy a paver. And we're looking in the range of, pavers cost $20 engraved, delivered. So anything above the 20, we're money in the pocket, and set that aside for a children's fund. I push the children's fund or the clothe the child or the do something to something's homeless or anything.
I'd give 100 for one.
I think that's probably.
But there's a 90-day window on it.
90 days? You paying me or what?
90 days that if we don't do it, I'm not giving you 100.
And I noticed the other day the Parks and Rec. Is there anybody here from Parks and Rec? Maybe or Tim. Maybe you know something about it. Talking about a wall or something, they were going to sell tiles, engraved tiles on a wall or something. So maybe we could incorporate all this order into one. And
don't complicate it. Man.
We need six buyers to complete an order for the free shipping on the bricks. And I can't see a line from here to the Dairy Queen, or we don't have one anymore.
Well, I'm sure Blake and Jerry will donate 100 too.
I'm in.
Blake's in. You in, Jerry?
Yeah.
But the paper idea just came up.
You in, Sandy?
We've got to have something.
Oh, writing down the list. Are you in? You're in, Mike?
That's
anybody else out there? She's in. One going on, sold.
But we're going to have to do something to keep the mud traffic down. And
it sounds like we need to pour a little bit bigger concrete.
Yeah.
It's already there.
10 by 10. The reason I thought the southwest was because then we could encroach onto the regular area where the pavers are now that need redone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And whether they take those up and put them around the Bell's Inn material, just an idea.
I think they're going to come up at some point because they're all wavy and we want to take care of it.
Yeah, so who is working on that? The bricks on the east side of the building.
The people that are going to finish the Bell project are going to move over to that.
No. Oh. Todd Baker did stop by the other day. He has a total plan. He did submit some paperwork. It's in the office.
Okay.
But
he looked at it though.
Yes. So his plan was I don't know which one of you he spoke to, but he said that he'd spoken to one of the commissioners, and so the plan was to take up all of the bricks, and he wanted to know whether or not we wanted to save them, and I do believe Jerry said yes. Take up all the bricks on the one side where they used to have the fish tent, and then make that all sod, and then do the bricks across the front that he said that... he noticed that some of them have names on them and those sorts of things. So he is going to document where those are, mm-hmm. and he's going to lift them all and then do as you had suggested. Like there'll be a solid foundation, then there'll be some kind of
incorporate it into the belt.
That's what I think too.
Yeah.
And then
I actually did talk to him down here one day.
Good.
I don't know if I'm the one he's talking about or he's talking to somebody else.
Well, he said he had spoken with one of the commissioners.
He was finishing it up down there.
That kind of makes sense because if we do the brick idea around the belt, there's going to have to be bricks there now.
Right.
You can't sell 20 bricks and then have a step off. So we're going to have bricks and we buy them at Menards or somewhere. They're a generic brick. But then you've got to
He says
pull one out, throw one in, you're throwing them away. So
use the ones that are already there.
Yeah,
should match the ones that are out
that
front.
Would be fine.
So.
Surely there's enough people in Brown County that have come up with
numbers. I'd make a suggestion to rather than tie it up in the in these meetings that maybe we just the three commissioners or whoever you decide and myself and Don, we can I'd say form a committee.
We make all decisions. All decisions in public.
But well, this is a free one. But that way we could just make all this, you know, in a 10 minutes outside.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Moving right
along.
Brian.
Yeah.
We have Indian Hill on here. There's not a lot to say. The project is still alive at this point, but there are some major obstacles in front of that project, not the least of which, first of all, is the cost of it, where the money could come from. No source of funding has been identified at this point in time. And also there are some logistical considerations. If we had to meet the state's specifications, what they specified for the project, it becomes almost impossible, considering the grade they want from each side of the railroad tracks. It would probably entail buying some land on one side. And the other side's a real problem because you'd have to extend that approach in to Bean Blossom Creek, which becomes a nightmare as far as DNR is concerned, messing with the creek. So I'm not sure where this will end up at this point in time, but whatever happens, your commissioners made a good effort to explore the possibilities. And like I say, we'll have more on this in the coming weeks. So is there any other business?
So that's about 2025 bond discussion.
Yeah, that's not here at the bottom. We do need to move on this if we're going to do it. I think we pretty much have to do it. We have some things such as the prosecutor's office, which we've identified before is a security nightmare. We've got basically an improved cardboard box down there that would accept bullet very readily. You got no privacy. People, tourists are walking by the window looking in at the prosecutor sitting at the desk. And plus that building is in very, very bad shape. So I think we have to do what we can to get a new prosecutor's office. We had the real estate thing that fell through. But there are other options. Ron has suggested possibly the green space north of the courthouse. There's always a possibility of building on the existing site and then tearing down the old office. We have totally given up on some other real estate, but nothing's really on the market right now. There is a building or two that could be considered, but we don't know for sure whether one could ever be available for sale. The other one, we have some questions about suitability, etc. So, we have some definite needs to repair the courthouse. We have the deteriorating steel staircase in the front. We have bricks on the southwest corner that are almost down to no mortar between them. I'm not sure what's holding them on the side of the building. And some other issues.
The windows and
the
front walk down at the 135.
The sidewalk along Van Buren Street is a hazard. It's a lawsuit waiting to happen. I don't know if I hear you say that. but it's the side, you know, it's buckled up. There's plenty of places to trip, fall. There's a big hole there that's covered with a big rock. So I'm not sure exactly what all that represents, et cetera. So
before we make a motion to adjourn, I'd kind of like to address some of them things. We're probably...
You have 10 minutes.
It won't take long. And I'm really not wanting to get into a big discussion. I just kind of want to put it out there and probably schedule some meetings for some public to come in and get input. I don't think we're ready to move ahead with that because we haven't identified a plan. We haven't identified where it's going to go. We don't know exactly what we're doing yet, so I don't know how you can go ahead with the bonds. This.
Can I just say something?
Hang on, I only got 10 minutes.
All right.
I originally run... on selling the music center. I know it's popular with some, it's not popular with some. I wrote up some pros and I wrote up some cons. The pros are we can get rid of $12.5 million plus interest. And on a commercial piece of property, I know they've spent more money on it, so they possibly have more than 12.5 in it, so we probably have to redo the math. But, you know, 10 to 20% profit on that is reasonable on a commercial, and it might even do more. You know, it could raise anywhere from $2.5 to $3 million or more. It could pay for the jail ACs, it could pay for the prosecutor office, and there would be money left over. And every year, we would collect about $150,000 in property tax, depending on what it actually brought, which every 7 years, it'd bring in over $1 million. Wouldn't have to get another $3 million loan, plus interest, and it'd give the taxpayers a break. It'd get us back on track financially. It would help with our S&P rating. It would create jobs at the Music Center, which would help us with income tax, and it would free up the innkeeper's tax so they can promote more tourism. And when you do these contracts, there's nothing wrong with asking the buyer anything you can get the buyer to agree to, is you can put it in a contract. We can even ask the buyer if they would give 25% for public safety, and that could help us keep, you know, from losing our officers. Now, the cons that I come up with is, if we don't, we're going to keep a $12.5 million debt plus interest. Could hurt our S&P rating. It would put us probably borrowing somewhere in the neighborhood of another $3 million plus interest. Well, we still have $3 million on a loan plus interest. And then the final part that I struggle with is, currently we're giving 75% away to a 501(c) that has, and I'm not till I see the financials, I've been quoted that they're possibly sitting on $18 million. Why would we be giving our money away like that? And it's just a why. If somebody wants to come out and look at this, I kind of wrote it up. It's kind of country, but that's me. So, welcome for any input. That took 4 minutes. Go ahead, Melissa.
The only reason, the main reason why that we wanted to that I asked the commissioners to talk about the bond and put it on their agenda was because Greg Garitas would like to come and speak with you guys in an admin meeting. So as you know, we have to talk about it in public first before you guys can have an admin meeting about it later. So I just wanted it mentioned and for you guys to start planning whatever you're going to do. Not actually, like, take the bond out, but to do the studies and to decide who's going to be doing that kind of stuff and all that.
We don't need no study.
Yeah, but I have a question for this. Have you ever heard of a 10-year abatement?
On what?
On the music center.
10-year abatement?
You know what an abatement is?
I don't know. I mean, I could Google it real quick. But
they're not going to pay any taxes on it for 10 years. Taxes are going to be limited each year. Each year it'll go higher, but it's still 10 years that you're not going to get the full amount of money.
So, taxes?
Yes.
So it's what?
They file for
5 years. Yeah, it's complicated. It's real complicated. If you get a $15 million deal and you've got vendors that's been issued contracts and everything, yeah, it's real complicated. That's why we have very good attorneys to go through that. And it might be a few years down the road. I don't know. But you're saying if it was sold now, there's still another 5 years?
If it's sold, they can. All they have to do is do anything. They'll put a building out there and they can do a 10-year abatement on it. And they're not going to pay what you think they're going to pay. It's not going to happen.
Huh. That's information. That's why we need to have open forum talks. And work through all the little details and get everybody involved.
There's a lot more things like that need to be really thought out for you.
Plus the finance guy, that's the reason we need to get with him. That's the reason
that's
we
fine.
Do this. So the new guy's supposed to be
on. I'm not making no motion tonight to do that.
I know. That's
I just want to get the talk started.
There you go.
Greg just wants to know, we'll talk about a date, but he needs a date to come down because he's ready.
That's
yeah,
fine.
He is ready. He's texted me twice.
Yep, and sent me emails.
Well, you have three commissioners. I have another argument that opposes Ron's conclusions about the pros and cons. There certainly are pros and cons. However, the music center is performing above expectations. Turned a nice profit this year, and even after taking out money to make some improvements and other things. I haven't actually got to see the copy, I will tomorrow, of the 2023 results, but there is about $300,000 in net profit to distribute, according to what I've been told. It is not hurting our S&P rating. In fact, our bond rating went up when we borrowed the $12.5 million for the Music Center. You sell it, you lose control. Whoever buys it is going to maximize the profit potential at the expense of anything in our community. They could bring in hard rock, acid rock, they could bring in rappers, they could bring in very dirty comedians, stuff that we don't really want necessarily in our community. I could go on and on, but there is definitely a lot of things to be considered. And there's no guarantee that anybody's really interested in buying it right now. Everybody says that Live Nation would be interested in buying it, cracked out of the box. I'm not sure about that. They're making a good profit off of this without ever investing anything in it because of the fees they get handling the ticket sales. And like I said, I mean, it has a very bright future, and it can actually become a cash cow for the county, and sometime might very well be sold, but not now is not the time. If you continue to operate this, we continue to operate this, and for another 5 or 10 years, it might bring $50 million instead of $15 million. Nobody has a crystal ball. I certainly don't, but so far the track record's been very, very good for it. I never was philosophically into the county entering into a private enterprise type of operation, but Brown County waited 10 years for somebody to rebuild the Little Nashville Opry. We got nobody to do anything. The one guy that's trying to do it failed, could never get financing. The $10 million impact to our economy when the Little Nashville Opry burned. There's a whole lot more than that, but you know, right now I see no reason to sell it because it is making a profit. It's not hurting us in any way, shape, or form. They, in fact, are paying back the innkeeper's tax money that they took out. They've been making two payments on that fund, I understand, for years. That they have the profits now, they don't have to use any innkeeper's tax to make payments on it going forward, so I understand it. And like I say, I'll know a lot more after I get the actual financials tomorrow. But as public, you can all see it too.
Do you have anything real quick, Mr. Walker?
Yeah. Good. There, just about there, folks.
I've got just a minute.
I mean, both of you make excellent points. More on that later.
There you go.
Okay, Mike Moga, any words of wisdom?
Nothing else to add, just, you know, please follow up with me about these meetings, the admin meetings and the executive sessions to make sure, you know, everything's in line. But it, like I said, they're very fact-dependent, so I need to hear more about what the meeting will be about.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I did entertain a motion.
I'm making a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you for all the signs that are out there on the internet. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay,
I'll have Don Sanders.
Jim Tilton confirmed.
You doing all right? Andy Tilton.
I remember, I think your dad, with the reptile. I remember, because I've been here. No, 1960. It's 20th century. You guys got some projects going in the future?
Oh, we hope so.
You got any opinion on the bicycle track? They're in a study.
Yeah, that was quite interesting.
I'd go around with it.